Scott, blink twice if you can hear us. He can hear us. Hey, Scott, you've been muted the whole time. You must have recorded your show muted, I think, unless something else incredibly technical is happening. Unmute yourself and talk to us.
Way to go, Scott. Can y'all hear me now?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
You can hear me?
Now I can hear you. Now we can hear you.
I've been talking for like, I'm like halfway through my podcast.
Well, no, you're not, because you didn't record shit. Audio-wise.
Son of a bitch. So I guess we probably should have mentioned that we were planning to record tonight, so you could get your shit out of the way.
Well, he still would have been muted. We had no impact on that.
Right. Yeah, I would have gotten through the whole thing and found out that I was muted.
Right, we helped you out.
I appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime, man.
I can't believe that I've been muted the whole time.
This is probably one of the best moments in Dome Patrol history.
Ever, yeah.
Ever. So to describe for the listeners, Jason and I plan to come in and record an episode of Taking the Over 9-ish tonight. And I log into the room and I see Scott. Scott must have had another window pulled up on his computer because he didn't see me enter the room. And he's
just
fucking.
I said, hey, gun.
Well, I
did. But you couldn't hear me
because you were muted. And I just saw you jibber jabbering away with no sound and fucking enjoyed it. And then I was purposely quiet and muted. And, you know, and then Jace, I tried to describe to Jason what was going on in a direct message. And then he got here and we realized that you've been muted.
Lovely. I'm so pissed right now.
It's okay.
I told a great story about how I hurt my back getting off the toilet.
It sounds terrible.
That sounds like a great story. So bad.
It hurts so bad. All I did was stand up. I was sitting on the toilet. I stood up and I pulled a muscle in my back.
How old are you?
43.
Yeah, that's what happens. You can do it even on the toilet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, ridiculous.
That's what happens, man. We ain't in our 20s no more.
Can't be standing up off the toilet, man.
Right?
Well, fuck your back up.
You're so quick. Apparently. You're on the toilet. First you're on Twitter, then you're looking at porn, and then you're like, oh shit!
My back.
Right?
This happened Sunday. I've been in pain since Sunday.
Well, today's, it's almost Friday.
Ooh, yeah.
I can't believe I've been recording this whole time with it.
It was beautiful.
Well, at least apparently we're recording now. So
yeah, we got lots of good content now.
See, like when it has multiple people, it'll put a green square around the box of whoever's talking. Like right now, I have a green square on my box.
That's
correct. I'm doing it myself.
Oh God, I don't even
there's nothing
that.
There to let me know. There's nothing there to let me know.
Hmm. Yeah. Sometimes there'll be, I don't know.
So. I'm going to log off. Y'all might want to log off and log back on because you're going to have about 15 or 20 minutes of just
you talking. You're not talking.
Yes.
Silence.
Jesus.
Well, that'll be easy to edit out because like on the editing software, it'll just be one whole line of nothing.
Yep.
That's it. That's exactly what it'll be. All right. Well, look, if you could shoot me a message on the WhatsApp when y'all are done, so I'll jump on and I guess record my show then. I need a little time to recuperate from this embarrassment.
Yeah, get some ice on your back, dude.
Yeah, right?
You heat the back.
No, you eat a gummy and relieve the pain.
Yeah, I was going to say. This might not have even happened in the first place if you'd eaten some gummies, dude.
Yeah,
it's possibly not.
All right.
Later, fellas.
Right. Later, Scott. That was pretty fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
What's up? Welcome home. Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. Very, very, very excited to get back with you guys after missing a week because of some technical difficulties and whatnot. But we're back here, and we have with us this week joining us Dome Patrol OG founding member Jason. Jason's going to be our special guest on the pod this week. Super, super, super excited. Jason's like our resident golf guy, of course, in addition to being a founding father of the Dome Patrol United podcast. Jason, what's up, man? Good evening. How's it going?
It's going good. It's crazy. I feel like it's been so long since I podcasted. It feels forever. And looking back at it, it probably has been about a month. When you mentioned, when you asked me to come on, I was like, hell yeah, I'll come on. Cause I was kind of itching to do a show again, even though, over the last few years, once the Saints season has ended, I've kind of wanted to kind of like decompress and just not worry about the Saints or even the NFL in general for a little while. And I know there are other people that are putting out Saints and NFL content, which is fine. But for me, the last few years, I'm just kind of like, you know what? I'm kind of okay. Like, I want an off season. I don't want to think about the Saints, think about the NFL for a while. Cause on Twitter, especially this week, a lot of the rumors are going wild and people are getting all up about it. And at the end of the day, like, a lot of it's not going to matter anyway. I mean, we're not getting the superstar quarterback trades. They're not going to happen. So I was very happy to come on here, especially as the golf season is really starting to kick off. This is kind of like, they're heading to the Florida Swing, and now the Masters is less than 2 months away. So it's really starting to, really starting to kick off. So I was really excited to hop on.
Dude, I'm excited to have you. And it's so funny because you say, other people are putting out NFL content and Saints content. That's what we're going to do tonight. And talk about some golf, talk about some Masters futures, and talk about the biggest story in golf in quite a while. And I mean, dude, this means it to me. And if I sound at various points in our conversation like I'm eulogizing Tiger Woods' golf career, you're going to have to forgive me. Right? Because what happened with Tiger this week, and his horrific car accident and his leg and ankle injuries, and a lot of speculation as to what vehicle he was driving. I'm hearing people get that wrong. I'm seeing people in the national sports talk world get, it's like, bro, he was in a fucking Honda Genesis. They had the tournament logo on the side. It was like a tournament courtesy car. It was like, the local Hyundai Genesis dealership gave them some cars to use, and Tiger went and fucking destroyed one.
When it was the Genesis Invitational, which is the tournament that was this past week in LA, and
it's his tournament.
Right, he's the official host. So yeah. I know I saw somebody was joking. Oh God, he flipped over in a Chrysler. Like, dude, it's not a Chrysler. I mean, with all the helicopter angles and the picture straight on the car, it clearly said Genesis on the side.
They had fucking the big ass like sign on the side of it because it was a courtesy car from the to me that was a fun element of the story. Tiger's like, you can just see it. Where's unit number X4275? And everybody's running around the car dealership like assholes, and they're like, oh, Tiger Woods decided he wanted to take that one for the weekend. He said he'd have it back by Wednesday. Yeah, no problem. Right, it'll be right back. His people assured us that it's going to be clean. Tiger's, bro, he fucked that car up.
Dude, it's crazy. And like, you're mentioning the big story in the golf world, not just the golf world, the sports world in general. I mean, it really just took over. And I remember, all of a sudden somebody sent me a text, and then I'm like, oh shit. And then I'm just constantly updating Twitter, to see what happened. Because it was on the West Coast, it happened so early over there. And by the time the news came out that it was him, it was like 12, 1 o'clock over here. And just absolutely insane. And I had seen him. So because he was the host, he hopped on in the booth during the tournament broadcast.
Sunday was broadcast.
And I remember
he didn't look well.
No, even Sunday, people were saying, like, dude, he was slurring his words a little bit. He looked off. Now, hopefully it wasn't, look, he had the issue a few years ago with painkillers when he got caught with a DUI on painkillers. So, and he just had back surgery a couple of weeks ago. So I was like, man, I hope it's not painkillers. But I was kind of thinking it was just, dude, he's in California. There's legal weed everywhere. I was just assuming he was on gummies or something, you know? Which I think probably was the case, or either that or he was drinking. I don't think it was, at least I'm hoping it wasn't the painkillers. I just think it was either alcohol or gummies or something.
I think that the accumulation of injuries that he's had over his career and the surgeries, his whole thing is he's in pain a lot, and he has the documented problem with pain pills. I hope it's not. I mean. And also, he's one of those people that he may have to, like, he's going to have an effective pain management strategy that involves not heavy narcotics for the rest, especially now. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to have rods in his ankle pins and screws and a rod in his, I feel for Tiger, man, because I got to tell you, here's my history with Tiger. And Tiger's near, you know, you and I are similar in age. Dude, we came up with Tiger. You know what I mean? I was working at a golf course in high school when Tiger broke onto the scene. And so, I mean, it was always on in the clubhouse. You could see more people coming and playing golf at the golf course as an employee, you know? And it was, I think Tiger early in his career and kind of midway into his career, I wasn't a big fan of him. Because I kind of thought he was an ass.
Oh, 100% he was.
As things went on, you saw him eventually get very humbled. Very humbled. And then to come back. I remember I read a long, long form profile on him. And it was about, he's probably the richest athlete in the world. Certainly at that time, one of the highest earning visible.
Yeah, I mean,
all of these things.
Right. At his height, he had surpassed Jordan because Jordan was retired. Even though he had the Jordan brand, Tiger was active. And at one point, Tiger was probably the most recognizable person on the planet. It's crazy to think for a golfer.
Well, and dude, and child prodigy. Golf, 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 golf coming up. I'm sure you've seen the HBO two-part thing that came out here fairly recently on him. And you got to look, like, this is a guy that probably was like a nerd, never got laid.
Oh,
you know?
100% he was. Oh, but yeah.
Then he becomes the most recognizable athlete on the planet and starts banging everything in sight and gets caught.
Yeah, I watched the documentary, I read the book that it was based on, you know, like his dad bred him to be what he was, and it is kind of crazy that he actually achieved or even overachieved all the expectations that he had. But dude, he was a stone cold killer. And look, that's what made him so great. He was a stone cold killer, and then all the shit happened. And then as he's coming back, that's when he kind of started to let his guard down a little and try to be like buddies with all these younger kids on tour that grew up idolizing him. I mean, that's where you really notice a difference. Like back in the day when he was winning majors and crushing people, he didn't talk to anybody in the course. All he wanted to do was beat him. Like he was so focused, he didn't have a lot of relationships.
He's an intense dude.
Yeah, and as he got older and all the shit happened and he started having kids, it's like he kind of grew out of it a little bit, and I think that's where a lot of people, including myself, because look, while he was doing his thing, while I appreciated what he was doing, I didn't really pull for him because I wanted more competition, and he was just like, he just destroyed everybody. But But watching him be humble and starting to act like a normal guy, I think me and other people actively started to root for him more than we did before. And some of it was like, you know, me maturing and recognizing the greatness and wanting him to be better, but also realizing like even he was starting to change a little bit.
Well, and when his father died, you know, he started, like, I mean, they mentioned it in the HBO documentary as well. He considered quitting golf to go be special forces in the Army. And he was doing a lot of hanging out with those guys.
It was crazy to me. All the SEAL shit that he did, that's crazy.
They say that's how he hurt himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
That's how he hurt himself.
It's crazy. It's almost like he was bored with being he was the greatest. He was on track to be the greatest golfer in the history of golf, and he just.
Well,
I don't know if he was.
Well, I want to say this too, and again, it sounds like I'm blaspheming Tiger up to this point, and I like he started to turn for me after like we kind of hit rock bottom, you know. But I want to say this one more thing too. It's going to sound haterish. I believe that there was HGH, human growth hormone, Tiger, and I think that there was. The tour is like no, bro, no more. No more HGH Tiger. And so we've had post human growth hormone Tiger. And those were distinct differences too. And I mean, because the way he transformed his body was pretty remarkable.
Especially
in his mid 30s. And then, like I said, for me, all of that fame. And I'm reading this article. It's just him sitting in the carpool line to pick up his kids, you know, and he's dating a waitress. You know, and it's like that guy's human, and that guy, and then I started rooting for Tiger.
Yeah, because before that, he was a machine. That's all he was a machine before, and he didn't, you know, he didn't show any, like you said, when his dad died and he won the British Open the 1 year right after his dad died, he started crying and he really showed a ton of emotion. Beforehand, he was just. He was a robot. He was a machine on the course. He dominated the competition. He was built to win, and that's what he did. I've had the pleasure of watching him in person on the golf course several times. It's amazing. I've been to the New Orleans course a few times. I've been lucky enough to go to the Masters twice.
Oh, wow.
I went the year that in 19, I was there the year that he won, and I was there. You know, when he wasn't there, I went to the Players a couple years. 1 year he didn't play. 1 year he did.
You were there in 2019 when he won.
We were there on Friday. Yeah, the year that he won. Yeah.
Oh my god.
And but the first time I saw him, some buddies of mine down here, like Courtney, former Dome Patrol, member, we just decided, hey, we want to go see Tiger because he's never going to play in New Orleans. We flew up to Ohio. To go watch him play in Jack Nicklaus's Memorial Tournament, just to watch Tiger for a day, and just watching him was unlike anything I've ever seen. The crowd reaction, the aura, it was like he actually has an aura about him. It's crazy. I almost can't describe it, but it was so different watching him than watching every other golfer play, even the best golfers of today. It's totally different.
Well, you saw it in 2019. Dude, he won that day. I fucking cried. I cried that Sunday watching that shit. I cried.
It is one of the best stories in the history of sports.
It was so amazing. It was so, I mean, just profound. It was really, really awesome. And then brings us to, and I'll say this for gambling perp, dude, I made a lot of money in the last couple of years fading Tiger everywhere but Augusta. You know, I mean, dude, I would see these golf props where Tiger, it'd be like Tiger to finish in the top 25 at XYZ tournament. He wouldn't even make the cut. You know what I mean? But it was that perfect, that gambling weakness that you look for in the books of over relying on a reputation, overvaluing somebody because of that. You know, I don't know, man. I don't know if Tiger's going to win another tournament. I think he'll play golf. I think we'll see Tiger play competitive golf. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll be the comeback in and of itself. I don't think we'll see him win again. If he does, please let it be at Augusta.
Well, I mean, even coming into the season, so I'm, you know, I'm in a big fantasy golf league, and every year we have a draft, and because it's season long, like I'll never draft Tiger again. But to me, going forward, there's only two tournaments that I think that he can win going forward, and it's either at Augusta because he knows it so well, or it's at the British Open, because a lot of those courses with usually how dry it is, how it can run, he can hit an iron, he can work his way around the course. So to me, going forward, I don't think he can win a regular PGA event. I think those are the Masters and the Open. Those are the only two tournaments that he can ever win.
Well, nobody won't be winning is this year's Masters.
he's definitely
on
not
the board. He's an option. They'll take your money. They'll let you bet on him.
Of course, because there's going to be people that just bet just because it's Tiger. I mean, that's
yeah. They'll get a free shot at your money. Yeah. But I don't know, man. I'm glad to have you here because we should talk about some Masters futures. You know, and so Jason, when's the Masters this year?
It's the second weekend in April every year,
and now, except for last year,
right? Except for last year, they had
which
it in
was
the fall,
unique and fun. That was awesome.
Which it's kind of fun because now I'm like, holy shit, the Masters is here! I feel like we just had a Masters, and already the Masters is here.
We're getting two Masters within like what, 6-7 months?
Yeah, and they're supposed to be allowing some. Not fans, patrons is what they call them. They're supposed to be allowing some patrons in the gates this year.
Fancy fucking people at that shit.
Which is good because the whole, you know, part of what makes the Masters is the roars of the crowd. And, you know, they mention it on TV. And when you're there, it's crazy because the way the course is set up, you know, it's open in enough spots where, like, you can hear roars throughout the course in different spots of the course. So I am happy that there's going to be fans here because it just felt, even though it was the Masters in the fall without any kind of crowd, it was weird. I mean, I know I've said that about a lot of sporting events in COVID year. Everything's just weird. The Masters was really weird.
It was different. And it was, but the course itself has such a presence and such a beauty that it was a different kind of broadcast this past year. And again, the fall. By virtue of it being the fall, we saw different colors on the screen, you know, because I mean, just everything, the azaleas, you know, it was awesome. And guess what? I picked the fucking winner this year.
And
I gave out three possibilities and he was one of the three and he wasn't the favorite coming into the event. And then I doubled down and went hard on him fucking going into round four. And hit that too. That was a good weekend, man. Saved me from some bullshit football bets.
It was, you know, he was a good winner. I'm glad, you know, because I've been a DJ fan. He's gotten some bad breaks, and because to me he's the best golfer around. And it was a crime that he only had one major to that point. So I'm very glad that he won last year.
He's my favorite guy on tour right now. You know, and he is actually. The odds-on favorite to win the Masters this year. He is. So we're going to run through some Masters odds. These are just future bets on who's going to win the Masters as of right now. And this is what you can get. I am seeing Dustin Johnson at +500, which of course will mean if you wager $100, you will win $500, pay $600 on Dustin Johnson. Jason, do you think DJ to repeat is the fucking favorite?
He is now. This week is the first WGC World Golf Championship. These are some pretty big events. This is the first one of the year, so this is your first the big tournament this week where you get a lot of your Europeans coming over, finally starting to play at a lot of the top guys in the world. I mean, it's pretty much a cash grab and a FedEx Cup point grab, but DJ struggled and he won over in Abu Dhabi in in Saudi Arabia, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. But this is now his second tournament in the States. He struggled last week. He's struggling today.
How big is the prize purse on the Saudi Arabia tournament? I bet it's fucking huge.
Oh, because yeah, it's all these. Well, these guys all get appearance fees. That's why he went over there, and Finau and DeChambeau. That's why and Reed. That's why a lot of these guys went over there because of the appearance fees. But he's not playing great here in the States, but it's weird because these guys always try to get their game right. And so, these guys make enough money now. They don't care about these tournaments. They care about the four majors. So they may not be playing well now, but he's going to work to get it right then. But to me, it's the last repeat winner was I'm assuming Tiger. So I even though he's got the best odds and he's the best golfer in the world, he's number one in the world right now, I don't anticipate him winning just because it's hard for me to see a guy going back to back.
Yeah, I I'm with you on that. 100% agree. The next closest favorites are going to be at plus 900. One of which is Jon Rahm. And the other, this one, a little bit strange to me. Maybe you can help me out with this. Rory McIlroy at plus 900.
So I feel like Rory is the most talented golfer, but he has so much pressure to win the Masters because this is the one that'll get him the Grand Slam. And he's, over the last few years, he's had opportunities. I think it was the year Patrick Reed won. I mean, he was playing in the final round with him, and he put it to like 5 feet for eagle on two, and he missed the eagle putt, and it was just, you knew, it's just like, it's not that there's a lot of pressure on him. And back in 2010, he came in, he had like a 4-shot lead, and he hit it into the fucking houses on 10, and he never recovered. And I don't think he's ever overcome that. There's just this mental block. I mean, his game is built for Augusta, but I just don't see his putting's not good enough either. At some point, I'm assuming he's going to win a Masters, but I
better be sooner rather than later. It's not getting any younger.
I agree. He's definitely due, but I just don't see. I mean, out of these top three guys, I would say, if I had to bet one of these three guys, I would bet on Rahm, just because, like, outside of DJ, Rahm has played the best golf over the last probably 2 years, and it seems like he's due to pick off a major. I mean, he's the best player without a major at this point.
Well, I'll say this: the guy that's actually next on the list it would be my pick, and that's going to be JT, Justin Thomas. You know, I feel like he would be my, because I will do the same thing this year, and I'll do it right now. I mean, I'll place these bets now rather than even with more information leading up to it. I'm going to, JT would be kind of like my DJ spot last year. He was the biggest favorite that I thought would win. I think he's due, and I think he's at the point in his career, and I think he does have the putting to make it happen, and he always is there at Augusta, and this, I believe, could be his year. He's at plus 1,000, as is Bryson DeChambeau. And fucking Bryson DeChambeau, dude, ain't winning the Masters this year.
No, and he was the favorite coming in last year. Everybody's like, oh, he's just going to overpower it with his drives. And his game has been sputtering too this year. I think he shot plus 5 today. He just hasn't had it. And but getting back to your JT thing, I like JT, but here's where I'll pivot, because JT at the Hawaii event, he was caught on mic. He missed a putt and said,
what he said? Did he say cocksucker?
No, he said faggot.
Oh, well, yeah, you can't say it, bro.
So he got caught doing that, and then he had to go through the whole, like, oh shit, I gotta apologize. Like, Ralph Lauren dropped him.
Oh,
and ever since then, he has not played well at all. Like, I think he finished almost dead last week. I think he was over par today. So at plus 1,000 for Thomas, I'll pivot and go Brooks Koepka at plus 1,100. Now, it's a shame, because I bet 4 weeks ago, I bet you probably could have got Brooks at maybe like 25-1 or 30-1.
Right. He's coming off of when he won, what, 2 weeks ago?
I think he won 3 weeks ago in Phoenix, the week of the Super Bowl, he won. He looks, he dealt with injuries a lot last year. That's why he sucked, but he looks healthy now. I think he's tied for third after today's first round.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But that's
you know, but to me, that's a guy, if he's fully healthy, and look, he, the year Tiger won, he was there and he hit it in the water in 12, like a bunch of the other guys. And he ended up, you know, losing by a shot. But out of all these top, you know, guys, out of all the ones that we've mentioned, I kind of like Koepka over all these guys. If I had to pick, you know, of this top tier, I mean, you got Xander at 14-1. Those are the guys at 20-1 or better. Other than Jordan Spieth is now at 15-1, which is crazy, but not that crazy. But
right, I don't think that's good. I don't think that's good odds on him, though. I mean,
no, you're right. It's not as look. He's got a couple of top fives, and he finished 15th last week. And all the talk is about how Jordan's back, and he does tend to perform well at Augusta. But I just feel like those are still a little too slim to be spending your money on Jordan.
It's not good value there.
Right.
Right. Dude, my long shot, and I love this kid. I really, really do. And I think he's got a great future on tour. Young guy in his second or third year now, Colin Morikawa, at 25-1. I like that. I'll take that. I know you're not a fan of his putting, but
I mean, look, the guy's already a major winner.
Yeah. And he's got, I mean, dude, he's just, when he's on with his irons, fucking watch out. And he lurked a little bit this past year, and he's won a major since then. Out of the over 20-1 guys, I am all about Colin Morikawa. Mm-hmm. And that would be my long shot pick. You know, I feel comfortable kind of following you on Koepka. So, you know, I feel like I would go JT, Koepka. There's really nobody else. I mean, I'll say Tommy Fleetwood at 40-1 is pretty attractive.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like Finau at 30-1, even though, look, Finau's whole deal is that he doesn't win. He's got one win, and he's got like 37 top 10s since his last win, and he just can't seem to get a win. But in terms of value, I like him over a lot of these guys in this range.
I'm going to do one more because it's just too tempting. Billy Horschel.
Billy Ho.
Yeah. 10 plus 10,000. He's 100-1 odds, bro. Throw a 10 spot on old bull fucking, Billy Ho. Get you 100 back. Look, thank me later.
That's definitely a good value bet. And he's got a lot of, you know, he's played Augusta a bunch of times. So, the one thing you have to look at is guys that have played it enough times. That's usually what it takes to win. So, yeah, that's definitely good value there.
Dude, I'm going to throw a 10 spot on Billy Horschel, and if it hits, I'm gonna spend my winnings on chickens.
Okay. You know, and not another, you know, like another decent, you know, if you want to toss down a nice little 10 spot, maybe it'll pay off for you. Louis Oosthuizen, 55-1.
He's finished.
He's won the Open. That's his only. It's crazy to think that's his only PGA Tour win. But he has finished runner up in every other major. So the guy comes to play in major. So at 55-1, that's really good value for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That's what I got, Jason. Do you have any other last ones you want to toss in there?
I mean, yeah, you know, usually it does. I remember the one time I went to Vegas and I put a bunch of bets down on like 50-1, 60-1, 70-1. Matthew Fitzpatrick at 60-1, you know, that's not a bad option. He's tied for first after this week. If you want to fade somebody,
mm-hmm.
Matthew Wolf. He's currently at 35-1. If you can get a bet where you can fade him, or like a matchup bet where you can take somebody over Matthew Wolf, take him over Matthew Wolf, because his game is a mess right now. He withdrew today after shooting an 83.
Wow.
So if you can still get any kind of bet on the board against Matthew Wolf, I would recommend it.
Tough thing with the Masters is, of course, we won't get matchups until then, but I'm still going to take your advice to take a matchup fade against whoever tees off with mm-hmm. Wolf on Thursday at Augusta. Jason, I want to pivot away and I want to talk about, man, I mean, we mentioned earlier talking about the Saints and free agency and everything that's going on in the NFL right now. There's a quarterback carousel allegedly although we have not seen much movement. But, you know, we were talking about this earlier in the chat today. It feels like any little sliver of a rumor, of a mention of one of these big name quarterbacks, star top five in the league fucking quarterbacks that are with their respective teams that, by the way, ain't going anywhere. Anytime the Saints recently are rumored or associated or close to a quarterback, everybody's all over it. And that just goes to speak to the lack of shit going on in the NFL right now. And I did an exercise with Ben on the last episode where we, you know, placed some fake odds on the Saints quarterback situation. And it was like, Jameis is the favorite. Fucking Taysom is this long, long, long outside shot. And the field, meaning everybody else that could possibly play quarterback for the Saints starting week one, was an equal bet to Jameis. What's your thoughts on, I mean, who's going to play quarterback for the Saints this year?
It's to me, it's going to be Jameis because you don't have to give up draft picks to get him. You do have to, now you do have to sign him. You know, you got to give him a contract. But
do you think he's going to be like, people talk about, I don't think he's going to, this talk about him going to be in demand. I think that's his agent, because him holding a clipboard and not having a training camp and the Saints showing that when they had to start a backup quarterback, how does his value increase by him not playing?
But do
to the rest of the league, to the Saints, I can understand they might have to pay him this year by virtue of not paying him next year. But how does his value increase to anybody else?
So do people around the league value just time spent in the Saints quarterback room with a guy like Breeze, with a coach like Peyton? Look at Bridgewater. Now, he did actually play games last year.
He played.
It was only five, but then, but he got a 3-year, $60 million deal. He got a $20 million per deal for a guy who played five games.
Went 5-0.
You know, now sure, Jameis didn't play for. You know, he played sparingly this year. He had a few snaps, but he has started in the past. I guess a lot of it comes to, you know, how much do they just put a lot of stock in Sean Payton and Drew Brees?
If he goes somewhere else for some significant cash, we'll see. I don't understand that part. Like I said, and not to be confused, don't get the two mixed up, in that I understand if the Saints have to pay him above market value. In a vacuum of any other options, it may be what they have to do.
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, the lack, you know, look, it would be fantastic to get Russell Wilson. Sure, I'd take Russell Wilson, but do you have to give up 3 number one picks and trade away Ramchick? You know, what do you have to give up to get him? Sure, he's clearly a lot better, but, and that's assuming that Seattle will actually trade him, or that Houston would actually trade Deshaun Watson. I just don't see that. That's really where I just don't see that happen.
Seattle's not tied. I mean, Seattle's not trading Russell Wilson. But Seattle's future is tied to Russell. It is his team. He's not going. That is such an absurd. And that broke today. It wasn't even a breaking story. I think the actual quote was, he's not seeking a trade, but if he was.
If he did. but of course, you know, because of the lack of actual content right now, people are going to run with anything that they can get.
And you know what it's like? You know what it's like? It's like say you're married. I don't know. Tell me if you and your wife do this. Do y'all have like a celebrity fuck list? Like of like, okay, we're obviously, I'm not going to get a chance to fuck Lily Raid. But if I ever did, it would be okay.
Right. I mean, I know I have one. I don't know that we've actually ever shared a list.
No, you haven't shared that?
I don't know that we've shared a list, but I know I definitely have one for sure.
Well, that means that then it means that you haven't done this, but go ahead and tell me who. Go ahead and tell me who's on your list with you that your wife's not aware of.
My number one, Tiffany Amber Thiessen is my number one.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's good.
I mean, once she hit her Valerie Malone phase on 90210, like that just like that, ooh, that did it.
But you got, it's got to be current day, you know, present
oh,
time.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. Even though she's okay. had a few kids still, with whoever her husband. Oh, yeah. It's still 100% is still her. That's
my strong. Your wife might go for that. She might give you that one. You know, I don't know. We're not getting Russell Wilson, dude. Deshaun Watson may depart Houston, but he's not coming to New Orleans. As much as I would love that, he's not coming because Deshaun Watson is going to win a Super Bowl, at least one. He's won a championship at every level he's ever been. He's going to win it here. He's going to win it somewhere. Probably not Houston.
Yeah, well, Houston's just such a fucking awful franchise. But and part of the reason we're not, you know, whether Houston trades him or not, and it's just the assets it's going to take to get these guys, I just don't think the Saints currently have at this point. So that's part of the reason why I in addition to the teams probably not doing it, that's another reason why I just don't see it.
What about, what's your thoughts on drafting a quarterback? Like, I am not at all a fan of the idea of drafting the young man out of Alabama, Mac Jones.
Me neither.
I mean, Alabama's quarter, they have not had a successful NFL quarterback since Joe Namath. And that was a very, very long time ago.
To me, look, he's an okay quarterback, but he was the product of, he's got the best roster in college football around him. that's what it comes down to.
That's what all these guys. I mean, that's what everybody that comes out of Alabama and most teams don't even bother with Alabama.
Yeah. I mean, like Mac Jones, Greg McElroy, whoever. Look, Alabama's won all these titles. All their skill position players are good NFL players. Quarterbacks, not so much. They do enough because everybody else around them is so damn good.
Right, and you see the fall off when they get to the pro. You saw it with Tua Tagovailoa this year, in that, you know, it was like, oh, I'm not used to this, and I mean, Dolphins could have done so much more with Fitzmagic. But as we transition, as we lean into the rest of the NFL, one of the things I want to do this offseason, pretty much leading up to the draft, is not talk about the draft, but rather look at some NFL division winner futures. And this week, Jason, we're going to hit up all of the divisions in the AFC. And on the next show, we'll do the NFC and, of course, finish with the NFC South. But I want to get into some division winner futures. And so this is just odds to win their division. So starting with like the AFC South. All right. The Colts are the odds on favorite at -155 to win the AFC South. I have very, very strong feelings on this, given that I think the Colts have made the dumbest decision in the history. I think this was just stupid. This was robbery. The fact that the Eagles were able to not only get somebody to take Carson Wentz off their hands, I thought Carson Wentz was good. I mean, I didn't even think he was tradable. But the Colts took him. And they gave picks back to Philly for the privilege of doing it. As Philly got over, dude, Carson Wentz is donezo. He's cooked. He's that fighter that's been knocked out one too many times. The guy is shot between the ears as far as being an NFL starting quarterback or even a backup quarterback for that matter. And the fact that the Colts are the odds on favorite to win the AFC South makes everybody else on that board that much more attractive to me. Jason, what's your thoughts on the Colts winning the AFC South?
It's wild because going into maybe last year, everybody was like, man, the Colts are set up. They had hit on a lot of young draft picks, so they had a lot of inexpensive talent. Just the quarterback was, you know, they kind of got Rivers to be a one-year kind of stopgap. The fact that Wentz's contract has so much guaranteed left, he's being paid such a hefty sum, and he's never been the same since his ACL injury. Like, look, he was playing great up until that point. Guy's never been the same, and, you know, Philly won the Super Bowl without him.
Right.
Now, obviously the Colts think that with Reich being the coach and he was there in Philly that maybe they can fix him, Yeah, the Colts do have a decent roster around them, but man, to pin all your hopes on this guy who was shown really nothing at all since his injury, and this just kind of goes to show people just continue to disrespect the Titans.
That's exactly
like,
it.
Nobody wants to respect the Titans. All they do is have the best running back in football, and Tannehill's great. Now, look, the Titans' defense sucks, but they've got a defensive coach. You know, let's say going into this draft, they address the shitty defense. You know, they got some young studs at receiver. I mean, the offense has a lot of pieces there. If they just make the defense average, to me, the Titans are the favorites to win this
division. The Titans are the best pick to win the AFC South. I feel like the Titans are the best bet on this entire board of any team winning their division in the AFC this year, with the Tennessee Titans being at minus 140. Titans at minus 140, you mentioned their defense. When you've got the running game that the Titans do, it can cover for that defense because they don't have to be out on the field as much. The Titans are, I think, I'm going to put some serious capital into this, dude. I'm talking like GameStop money on this one, dude. It is such clear cut. I mean, the fact that the Colts are the favorites here, I'm gonna find some of those bets where you can bet against their win loss total, because that's not even out yet. But once you can get their win loss total, I'm gonna bet against the Colts win loss total. I'll take an under there.
Oh yeah, 100%. Because yeah, they're gonna be predicted to win like what, like 9.5? I would definitely go under.
Easily 9.5. It's easily gonna be 9.5. If they've got them winning this division, they're at least gonna be at 9.5. Titans, I think, are the best pick that you can make in this structure of a bet on any division in the AFC, and we'll talk about the NFC next week. Of course, the Texans are kind of a joke. The next two teams in the AFC South are, of course, absolute long shots. Vegas isn't giving the Houston Texans much of a chance, nor should they, at plus 950. I mean, God, we want to talk about a dumpster fire. This is the kind of dumpster fire that's going to go on for years.
I think, and I see here, like the Jags are +1,000. I definitely think the Jags finish better in the standings than the Texans. I think the Texans are the worst team in the league this year. You know, you're factoring in, like, currently Watson says he's not going to play for him. Now, when it comes down to it, when he starts getting docked money, he may decide to play. But the roster has been so gutted by poor personnel moves. It's like Watson can only do so much. And the Jags have a ton of cap space. They're going to get Lawrence. Urban Meyer, I don't know about him in terms of a successful NFL coach, but I just think the Texans are the worst franchise in the league now. They have taken that over from the Redskins or the Washington football team.
And so, look at it like this too. The Jags at a plus 1,000. You can say, okay, if you want to say disaster strikes in Tennessee, and Tannehill and or Derrick Henry go down. And Derrick Henry, of course, one of the reasons why the Titans are such a solid bet here is that he has shown no injury history. I mean, this guy is just a fucking tank. He's a generational running back. We are going to tell our grandkids about him. The Jags, dude, they could pull some crazy shit. Because if Colts and – I think the Colts are going to be a disaster. With wins.
The Colts and Texans being disaster, all it takes is a Titans injury away from the Jags, all of a sudden
Jags jump right in.
Right? And look,
they have so much cap space, they can transform this team.
Right. And they already have some pieces in place. They've got the running back who was a fantasy darling this year. They've got a couple of good receivers. They got DJ Chark. You know, there are some skill positions there. So now you get them with a quarterback and you pop in one or two free agent signings that turn the corner. The NFL has shown that you can, you know, you can gain a lot of games from year to year just based on hitting on free agency and hitting on the draft.
Right.
So it's you know, if you're looking at a pure upside pick, you toss $10 to the Jags. Why not?
Look at Tampa Bay 7-9, the Super Bowl champs. And what was Tampa's regular season record?
11-5.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're both in agreement here. Titans are the pick at minus 140. I think you get in now. I don't think that number is going to get any better for you as a gambler. I think you do it now. I think,
yeah.
I mean, that one feels like robbery, even though it's minus 140. Next division that we want to talk about, Jason, is the AFC North. We're going to run through all four of these. The Ravens are minus 145, making them the odds-on favorite to win the AFC North, followed by the Browns at plus 135, followed by the Steelers at plus 225, followed by the Bengals and Joe Burrow when he gets back into the Bengals lineup at plus 2100. Jason, what do you think is going to happen in the AFC North?
Well, I definitely think, because I don't believe Burrow will be ready by opening day, so I think the Bengals, you know, Bengals go 7-9 at best, maybe 6-10. You know, they rebuild and look forward to 2022. I think the Steelers completely fall off this year. I think the Steelers are a 6-10 team.
We've seen the end of Big Ben has been Big Ben cooked.
They say they're going to bring him back, and they're going to bring him back, but it could be the. Like Breeze this year, you could just kind of tell, like, you know what, he's just done. And yeah, as much as you want to bring him back, and maybe for cap purposes, they kind of have to bring him back. The Steelers are an under 500 team. I would definitely bet the under win total on the Steelers, because I'm sure they'll be 8.5, 9. I would definitely go under on the Steelers.
The Browns, dude, it feels like the Browns have been so hyped for the last couple of years. And of course, this year they delivered with a playoff berth. The Browns at plus 135 and the Ravens at minus 145. Do you see the value of the Browns here? Beating out the Ravens?
I mean, God, the Ravens are... That's the thing. Now the Ravens are fully going to give it over to J.K. Dobbins. At running back... You know, they have a bunch of young receivers that, you know, can they finally put it together? It seems like they can. And look, this is really tough, because with the Browns now, like, the Browns are going to get Beckham back. So is that going to help them, or were they so good last year because they didn't have to deal with Beckham?
Does Beckham get traded before the end season trade deadline would be a fun prop. if I could find like Beckham starts, Beckham right. plays week one, week two, has a fucking fit, gets traded before the end season trade deadline, I'll take that prop all day. I feel like the Ravens window is going to be closing. And I say that because of something I said before on this podcast. I love Lamar Jackson. He's fun to watch. He's incredibly talented, but a quarterback of his mobility it's a ticking time bomb. And he has been fortunate not to suffer any major injuries, but I feel like this is the year that Lamar, something happens to him in the season.
So I guess that's the key. I mean, if you feel that's going to happen, then yeah, then your bet, it has to be on the Browns.
Browns have got talent. I mean, as biased as, and I lived near Cleveland for a spell, and dude, I mean, the Browns futility got into my DNA, you know, and that it's hard to believe in the Browns, but I think it's better value at plus 135 than the Ravens at minus 145.
I mean, you're probably right. Like, going into it, like, the Ravens are the best team right now, but one injury and to me, then it's all Cleveland.
That's it. They got nobody else. They got nobody else at quarterback either.
Yeah.
RG3 played a little bit for him this year, but I mean, no, like you had the Lamar poop game, you know, where we saw Ravens quarterback come in and not do anything. Browns are the pick there. Browns are the value at plus 135 to me. Next division is going to be the AFC West, and of course, the team that is the biggest favorite to win their division within the AFC is going to be the defending AFC champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs, Jason, are minus 525. Followed by the LA Chargers at plus 390, followed by the Las Vegas Raiders at plus 950, followed by the Denver Broncos at plus 1100. I mean, is it even up for debate that the Chiefs, I mean, basically you're just, it's just a crapshoot, or you're gambling against an early significant season ending injury to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's a Mahomes injury. I mean, I know the Chargers are going to be really frisky, and they did get a new coach this year, correct?
Yes.
So they could.
But who's their quarterback?
Herbert. And
I'm sorry, not the Chargers. Wrong team. Yeah. Broncos.
I mean, you know, like, unless the Broncos pull a Deshaun Watson trade out of their ass. You know, that could be one. You know, like, if you're thinking, if Deshaun Watson gets traded, and it's not the, you know, like the Jets or the Jags or one of these teams that has a lot of high draft capital, if it's one of these sneaky teams that nobody's really thinking of, if it ends, because there were rumors that the Broncos are in, which, I mean, of course everybody's interested, but if you're thinking the Broncos, if he were to go to Denver, that would make things interesting.
That's the fun of locking in these futures bets so early before this movement starts. Because imagine you get the Broncos at plus 1100, mm-hmm. and then the next day, you know, oh, Deshaun Watson going to the Broncos. That's it.
Like, that would make this division fucking dynamite.
Oh, it'd be great. I mean, I'm not sold on Raiders quarterback. You know, and man, they were a little bit of rumors. He, of course, was another one. Oh, he could end up in New Orleans.
No. Yeah, I'd rather not have to give up anything for fucking Derek Carr.
No, no Derek Carr. No, thank you. Does he wear eyeliner? No.
It's called guyliner.
Guyliner. Well, I don't fucking want a quarterback that wears guyliner, dude. That's just creepy as fuck. That's so fucking creepy. Herbert and the Chargers. I mean, basically, AFC West is it's an injury piece. Brings us to the AFC East, and the AFC East has a team that, of course, is the second biggest favorite to win their own division in the Buffalo Bills, who we saw really make some leaps and bounds this year. The Bills are minus 230 to win the AFC East. We've got the Dolphins at plus 215 to win the AFC East, followed by New England Patriots plus 400, followed by the hapless New York Jets at plus 1600. Jason, this one's pretty easy.
Yeah, it's hard to go against the Bills here. They're clearly the best team. But, you know, there are rumors that the Dolphins could be if Deshaun Watson gets traded, they could trade. They have draft picks. They have Tua they could get rid of. You know, if they were to trade for Watson and give up Tua and give up a few picks, because they still have a shit ton of picks. Most of them from Houston, actually.
Right, I was about to say, the Dolphins have a history of fucking tricking the Texans, right?
Right.
It was you and I were talking about Bill O'Brien in the second ever episode of Taking the Over. And Bill O'Brien is well into his career selling Cutco knives. He's far away from the decision-making chair for the Texans. But it would be so serendipitous for the Dolphins to pick up that fucking easy hotline to the Texans and say, hey, you know, they give him like a seventh and an eighth, and Texans send Deshaun on over.
Yeah, so that's, to me, in this division, those are the only two teams worth betting on. I don't see the Patriots competing at all this year.
You don't think the Patriots end up getting somebody to play quarterback, and then they get guys that opted. They lost some significant pieces of their defense this year to guys opting out for COVID. They have to do something at wide receiver. They do not hit wide receiver in the draft. They never do. They would have to bring some receivers in via free agency. I mean, it's crazy, though, still to see a Patriots team at plus 400, but you just think about how real, dude, the Patriots are in a bad spot right now. I mean, they're kind of like, bro, finish him, you know, like just put a fucking fatality on Belichick, because that some the Bills are the easy pick here.
Yeah, and the thing about the Patriots too, like one of the reasons why, I mean, look, they've won a shit ton of Super Bowls, I get it, but they have really mismanaged their drafts over a bunch of years. They've never been able to draft a competent receiver. They, you know, they're, and look, I don't get into mock drafts because to me it's fake bullshit.
It's nonsense. This
guy went in this mock. Well, who gives a shit? It's not real.
I like the ones that do all the trades. I like it when some asshole writes a mock draft and they put fucking bullshit fake trades in there. That's just you can't be my friend if you do that. Right? You can't. Like, I don't. You and I will not get along if you
It's like people get, this guy ended up this mock. Gimme. It's like, it's fake. It's fucking fake. And one guy's mock draft now is going to be different than his mock draft in a week. And then a week, like, he's going to come out with 20 mock drafts. They're all going to be different. It doesn't fucking matter.
And the asshole that does the trade in the mock draft, he never does like a fun trade. He never does like, and the Saints.
Right. Give trade
Lattimore right. and Ramchick.
Right. We got Lattimore and Ramchick and the rights to the former Dixie beer.
Let's say the rights to Mercedes Benz and fucking move up to number one. Like, they don't ever do fun. Like, they just do these fucking horseshit middle to late first round fake fucking trades. Oh my goodness, I hate mock drafts too. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. You notice we didn't even talk about the Jets at +6. It's like, that's like betting on Tiger Woods to win this year's Masters. You're just throwing your money away at Jets +16. You just burn it. Go buy some fireworks.
Right? Yeah. I mean, look, they either draft either Fields or Wilson for BYU, or they keep Darnold and draft whoever. I don't know, but it's the fucking Jets. Yeah, you can't.
It ain't gonna be pretty no matter what they do. I think the Bills are the easy pick here, even though it's a diminished value at -230. I think if you're going to make another selection, you make a selection there. Which brings us to, Jason, who's going to win the AFC? Who's going to win the whole AFC? And so, just to run through a few, you got the Chiefs at +190 as the favorite. You've got the Bills at +500. You've got the Ravens at +540. You've got the Browns at +850. Your Dolphins +1,000. Colts +1,000. Steelers +1,000. Titans +1,100. All the way down to the Texans at +5,100. 51-1 on your money to Texans. Not going to happen. Jason, who's going to the AFC?
So, I think this could be a year from hell for the Chiefs. So I'm going away from the Chiefs. So it's either, if I had to pick, I'll go either the Bills, the Browns, or the Titans. Those would be my three choices. They all have decent value. The Titans
are such value at 1,100. Right? The Titans might win it straight up.
Yeah, like that.
Just go beat a full power Chiefs team,
right? Like that's why I'm looking at the Titans, just because the value is, like, I'm definitely going to take the Titans over the Steelers, the Colts, the Dolphins. Probably, you know, like, they're like, let's say, you know, the Chiefs have a season from hell, and then Lamar Jackson gets hurt, and then the AFC is the Bills, the Browns, and the Titans.
The Browns are better odds. Than the Titans? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I think the Titans are more likely to win it than the Ravens, who are +540. That's just crazy to me. They would be, you could put them as the third favorite.
Yeah.
I'd put my money on the Titans and nowhere else to win the whole AFC.
That's definitely the smart money, I think. Especially in terms of getting your return on investment.
Well, that's what we got. That's the AFC, because and I think the AFC is as we saw this year in the Super Bowl, I don't think that they can run with the NFC. And next week we're gonna hit the NFC, man, and wrap it up with the NFC South, which will be a thrilling episode. So
yes, it will. We're definitely not gonna pick the Saints, right?
Oh, what? Come on, man. I'm curious to see the odds. I didn't even look yet. I want to save it. It's a present that I want to unwrap. I mean, on the next episode.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that that Tampa's going to have the best odds, which is fine by me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude, that's all I've got on NFL talk. Jason, is there anything that you want to make sure that we get to this week on Taking the Over?
I mean, I feel like I've discussed plenty of golf to go around. I'm sure a lot of the non-golf fans, you know, aren't too thrilled. But look, hope all of you out there are enjoying WandaVision like I am.
Oh, dude, coming up soon. We've got some stuff with your Dome Patrol United Podcast Network in the works. We've got a WandaVision pod coming. I got to tell you, at this point, I really feel like we should wait till the season's over. Unless that second to last episode is like so freaking good that we jump on.
I can see that happening. You're right. Yeah, that we just have to. I know. Believe me, look, I've been dying to do a WandaPod for a few weeks, especially when shit started to get real. And for whatever, you know, I think Jeff's kind of an off season. He doesn't feel like podcasting mode. So it's,
I mean, you know, dude, I'll host. I've got just the right seat because I like WandaVision. I like WandaVision, mm-hmm. and I'm probably of our Dome Patrol United. So I'm probably the most skeptical of it, but I do enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I'd be willing to jump on and participate in that, but I'm more of an X-Men guy than an Avengers guy. So, you know, I just want to see X-Men stuff happen. X-Men mm-hmm. stuff's not happening yet. So, we got WandaVision coming, dude. We got a lot that we can get to in the coming weeks. Of course, we've got the Tiger's Den with Scott. Man, Jason, as we logged in tonight, we saw Scott hard at work hammering out the latest.
Hammering out, talking about LSU baseball and
basketball. Gymnastics.
Gymnastics.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's going to be this week's episode of the Tiger's Den. I got a sneak preview tonight. Now, granted, there was no sound, but I can tell you just from the words coming out of Scott's mouth, it's going to be the most amazing that we couldn't hear. It's going to be a fucking awesome episode. Scott gave me a lot of love last week on Tiger's Den, and you know, I thank him for that. I am enjoying, although I'm not a huge, my sun doesn't rise and set with LSU like a lot of folks around here. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy Tiger's Den with Scott. Other than that, make sure that you follow us on Twitter. Make sure that you subscribe to Dome Patrol United, wherever you get your podcast. And at this point, Jason, I'm supposed to say that you can also listen to us anywhere that you want. And you can even find us the old traditional way at http://www.DomePatrolPodcast.com. We'll see you on the other side. We love y'all.
Bye bye, doggies. Thank you.
Bye bye, doggies. Later.
Oh, that's good shit.